Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome. Excuse me. Welcome. And good morning. Welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. or 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. This morning, my devotional message is entitled, I Speak to You from the Depths of Your Being. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Colossians 1 and 27, and it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the people of glory. And my third scripture reading is coming from 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, and it says, Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. And if I am speaking slowly, it's simply because I have a bad case of a sore throat. I had surgery 2 days ago, and the tube that they stuck down my throat is causing my throat to hurt, so that's why I'm not shouting and just feeling the word this morning. But I will continue by the grace of God. Amen? And the message says, I speak to you from the depths of your being. Hear me saying soothing words of peace, assuring you of my love. Do not listen to voices of accusations, for they are not from me. I speak to you in low tones, lifting you up. My spirit convicts cleanly, without crushing words of shame. Let the Spirit take charge of your mind, combining our tangles of deception. Be transformed by the truth that I live within you. The light of my presence is shining upon you, and benedictions of peace. Let my light shine in you. Don't dim it with worries or fears. Holiness is letting me live through you. Since I dwell in you, you are fully equipped to be holy. Pause before responding to people or situations, giving my spirit space to act through you. Hasty words and actions leave no room for me. This is authentic living. I want to inhabit all your moments, gracing your thoughts, words, and behavior. Amen. To God be the glory. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen? So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence.
open up your heart and let God's Spirit come in. Come on, saints. Pray.
Lamenting, crushed, I sin more.
Amen. Praise be to God. Unfortunately, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will not be with us this morning, so I will be bringing the word in her place. Amen. And my scripture reading for this morning, we have two scripture readings. The first scripture reading is coming from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And then we're going to go over to the book of Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Amen. And those are the scriptures that will be read. Chapter 9, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. The message after the completing of the temple. Judgment against Israel's enemies. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And it says, this is the message from the Lord against the land of Aram, the city of Damascus. For the eyes of humanity, including all the tribes of Israel, are on the Lord. Doom is certain for Hamath near Damascus, and for the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Though they are so clever, Tyre was built a strong fortress, and has made silver and gold as plentiful as dust in the streets. But now the Lord will strip away Tyre's possessions and hurdle its fortifications into the sea, and it will be burned to the ground. The city of Ashkelon will see Tyre fall and will be filled with fear. Gaza will shake with terror, as will Ekron, for their hopes will be dashed. Gaza's king will be killed, and Ashkelon will be deserted. Foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. I will destroy the pride of the Philistines. I will grab the bloody meat from their mouths and snatch the detestable sacrifices from their teeth. Then the surviving Philistines will worship our God and become like a clan in Judah. The Philistines of Ekron will join my people as the ancient Jebusites once did. I will guard my temple and protect it from invading armies. I am watching closely to ensure that no more foreign oppressors overrun my people's land. Zion's coming king, verse 9. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's coat. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nation. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Amen. Praise God. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. So this is the correlation between Zechariah and Matthew. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its coat beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's coat. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the coat to him and threw their garments over the coat, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowd replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Amen. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. The 14th chapters of Zechariah's prophecy fall naturally into two parts. Chapters 1 through 8, constructed chiefly around the prophet's 8 visions, were intended to encourage the people and their leaders in the rebuilding of the temple. With his older contemporary, the prophet Haggai, Zechariah was eminently successful in this, in Ezra 6 and 14. Chapters 9 through 14, which recorded the later ministry of the prophet, contain some of the most remarkable, precise messianic prediction in the Old Testament. The entry of Zion's lowly king is described in chapter 9, verse 9, the mourning over the pierced one in chapter 12, 10 through 14, the smitten of the shepherd and the scattering of the flock in chapter 13, verse 7. And there are others. Our primary concern is with the first of these, the coming of the Messianic King riding on a colt into Jerusalem. The fate of the tyrant was sealed, and his reign must inevitably come to an end. But the Messiah's power was to be for all time. In Zephaniah 9 and 10, and the NIV says, his rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The Lord of hosts would be the redeemer of his people, who, cleansed and sanctified, should boast in their unfailing helper. This was the reference in its own historical context. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on the Sunday Before he was crucified, he was careful to fulfill this prophecy in its every detail. This was his royal entry. He entered Jerusalem as king to make a final appeal to his people, but he was rejected and crucified. The third fulfillment of this prophecy is yet to come. Someone has said that deep down in their hearts, all people desired a king to rule over them. Whether this be true or not, there is something about the relationship of a good king and his subjects to which no other form of government can compare. In the wisdom of God, this is one figure he has chosen to show the relationship between himself and his children. Zechariah's haunting words come down to us over the centuries in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 in the NIV, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, your king comes to you." Let us consider this three applications. Amen. Praise God. Again, forgive me for my slow reading and talking this morning because, as I said, I had surgery and the tube that they put down my throat has my throat very, very sore. So it's hard to really get so deep into the word. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Father, come to seek you today. We are thankful that you have sought us first. We bring our offerings to you for your use and work. But we give to you in response to your already giving to us, seeking or giving, loving or finding. We are the tardy ones. You first sought us and gave to us. You loved us before we could love you, and you found us before we found you. Accept, O Lord, our praise and our gifts. In love, we bring both. Now, Father God, I ask that you remove self out of the way and allow the word, Holy Word, Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. My text for this message is coming from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10 in the NIV. And again, my scripture reading came from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, and Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Zechariah 9 through 10 from the NIV says, "Rejoice greatly, daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." To God be the glory. The title of this message is Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, your king comes to you. The Old Testament says the king will come. Looking back, we can see in the Garden of Eden the first prophecy of Jesus coming. In Genesis 3:15 from the ASV says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The patriarchs added their testimony. The psalmist said in Psalm 10:16 in the NIV, "The Lord is King forever and ever." Amen. The prophets spoke of a king who would reign in righteousness. He would be of David's line. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be a man, but more than a man. He would save his people. Of all the prophets, perhaps Isaiah made the most messianic statement. He referred to the coming king, God's anointed. In one verse, Isaiah used five names, each suggesting a facet of his character. "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," Isaiah 9 and 6 in the NIV. Then Isaiah said something the centuries have not dimmed, but have only served to light up in bold relief. Amen. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Praise be to God. Turn the pages of the Old Testament and the glow from messianic passages become brighter and brighter as the years go by. This revelation is both increasing and progressive. This is the burden of the Old Testament. The King will come. The New Testament says the King has come. Jesus was born a king when an infant's cry broke the stillness of the night in a rude cattle shed in Bethlehem. Humble shepherds saw a great light and heard the angels sing. Jesus was proclaimed a king when, in exact fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, he entered Jerusalem to the plaudits of the multitude, cried in Luke 19:38 in the ASV, "Blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord." When the Pharisees urged him to rebuke his disciples, he replied in Luke 19:40 on the ASV Bible, "I tell you that if these shall hold their peace, the stones will cry out." The time had come, as Zechariah had prophesied, for him to be proclaimed king, and nothing could prevent it. Jesus was crowned king when he came forth as the risen Son of God from the tomb. Death could not conquer the King of life and death and time and eternity. Jesus is reigning now. In one of his great theologies, Paul said, in 1 Timothy 1 and 17 in the ASV, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." Jesus reigns in the spiritual realm. The kingdom of God is not a state or condition of this world, nor an idea ordered of nations and life. It centers about a person, the King. 1 Corinthians 15:25 says, "For he must reign," said Paul, "till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Amen. Praise be to God. Receive your King. But above all, the Christian gospel says, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit says, to every person, everywhere, and for all times, receive your King. Jesus coming forces. Jesus coming forces us to face two alternatives. One, we may sing his hosannas and cast our palm branches before him with adoring emotions. And then as the challenge to him grows sharp, let him be led out of another gate to a hill called Calvary. And two, or we may receive him as the King of our lives and dedicate ourselves to his cause. Praise be to God. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 in the ASV, what was Jesus doing on the day he entered Jerusalem? Amen. He was riding upon an ass, even upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Heretofore, Jesus had avoided being called the Son of David. Because of the reference to the promised King Messiah, he did not wish to participate in the issue with the rulers prematurely. But now the time had come and he presented himself as king. What was the reaction? The Pharisees were indignant and tried to squirch and demonstration, but to no avail. The enthusiasm of the multitude knew no bounds as long as a year before they had wanted to take Jesus to Jerusalem to make him king in John 6 and 15. But he would not consent. Now they visualize him throwing the Romans out of Jerusalem and taking the throne, when he did no such thing. Their enthusiasm cooled quickly because they wanted a king that was going to come to destroy the Romans. But that was not the reason why Jesus came. What was the immediate result? The king was crucified. When the Roman governor surrendered to the pressure to crucify an innocent man. He put a title over the cross in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. In John 19:19 in the NIV, where it says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The King was declared to be the Son of God with power, Romans 1:4, by his resurrection from the dead. 50 days later, at Pentecost, the King was preached as both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:36. And 3,000 were converted. What will be the ultimate result? Ultimately, Jesus will come to rule over all people and all things. This was the prophet's vision. The prophet dared to dream of a time when nations would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, when nations would not lift up swords against nation nor learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:4, Michael 4:3. This was the psalmist's dream. One psalmist saying in Psalm 93:1 in the RSV, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. This was the great apostle's faith to Paul, crowning Christ as King. Was the ultimate significance of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15:24-25. This is the dynamic of Christian mission, the faith that Jesus shall reign wherever the Son does his successive journey run. This is the substance of John's vision on Patmos. He told us the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11:15. On a still higher note, he said, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. 17:14. But the climactic note of John's vision and of the whole Bible is this. Hallelujah. For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Chapter 19:6. This is the ground of Christian hope. There is no hope except in Jesus, the King. Every other kind of life is bound by the limits of this shrinking world. But Christianity has all the windows open toward the limitless expanse of eternity. Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. And my conclusion is, this is the Christ who stands at the door of our hearts what shall be our response to him? God grant that we may say, blessed and only potent King of kings and Lord of lords, O merciful Christ of God, come, come now. My life is yours. Enter my heart and reign, both now and forevermore. These are arguments for you to consider, to help you see that faith is not blind, but that there are reasons for believing at the moment of truth. After you have considered the arguments, you must receive the gift of faith and choose to believe. What are you going to do? Are you going to choose life? Or are you going to choose death? Rejoice greatly, for your King comes to you. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. To God be the glory. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and he is my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. And my benediction for this morning is Jude 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, 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 amen. Praise be to God. At this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with poetry at this time. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap. Praise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How were you this morning?
Blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Feeling a little better, but now the throat and the chest area is kind of on the sore side. But, you know, it takes a couple of days to get it out. I can't even out of my system. But praise God, I'm still here.
Amen. Praise God. Beautiful message this morning. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Amen.
I will be reading a poem from my coming book, The name of that book is Unstoppable. It might change, but it's Unstoppable. And the name of this poem is When in These Troubled Times, Our God is Real. When I find myself in troubled times, I kneel. I can't do what I used to do. Not that I can't, but I don't want to. To do the things I did before I knew my God above. Actually, the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient one, who has taken up residence in me. God is good. God is awesome. He is all. I know now. And despite me, he calms and brings peace to me. Wow. So no, I don't want to do what I once used to do. I'm living for Christ because Christ lived and died for me and for you. Do you feel the thrill of my mass appeal? When in troubled times, you pray. It is only a test. It is only a drill. A time of testing. You may relax. It's now a time to chill and to practice patience. So don't fade. Don't fret. And please, don't worry. God knows what's going on. Don't have to scurry. Listen with your heart. Jesus is the answer. With God in this test, you answer all questions right. Nothing, believe me, is ever permanently wrong. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how it feels. God said it. I'll repeat it again. Jesus is the answer. So if and when you believe, there is no loss in the end. Count it all joy, my beloved, your kin. Hold on to Jesus. Every word he says is true. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Remember, have you ever seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread? What he has done for others, he still can do for you. And if you don't already know, trust him. Have faith in God and obey and believe. Soon you will see, then too you will know what the Almighty God, God alone can do. And God is real. Selah. And my scripture comes from Psalm 37, verse 25 from the King James Version, where it says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen.
That is just so wonderful. Oh, my God. Wow. And this is from the second book?
Yes, ma'am.
Definitely got to get my copy.
I didn't get it. Still writing.
They ready?
But it's almost. I want to add a few more things. It's almost ready.
Oh, great. Just let me know when it's ready so I can get mine hot off the press.
You know I will. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Oh, I love that poem. When in these troubled times, is the title.
God is real. Yes. When in these troubled times, God is real.
God is real. Oh, yes, definitely. Ooh. He is definitely real.
Hallelujah.
Anybody says that he's not, I feel for them.
Amen.
Feel for them if they say that he's not real. And
he's not real.
Absolutely. Never will he let us go begging bread. Not his people.
Nope. Never the righteous forsaken, nor his seed.
That's right. Praise be to God. That was, This book seems like it's going to be better than this first one.
Pray for me, evangelist.
Always. I'm always praying for everybody. I keep you strong that God will put the words in your heart, in your mind, and that you are able to put them down on paper and bring us a second book. You know I pray for that.
Thank
because,
you so much.
You know, like when you're lying in your bed at night and you're reading, you know, a chapter from the book, it's so relaxing. And it gives you a lot to think about. It really does. You know what it really touches my heart. I don't know about anybody else, but wow. Praise be to God. Okay. I don't know what happened to Pastor Kathy, but I'll play a selection to see if
okay.
She shows up, and if not, then, you know, we'll close us out because Lord knows, you know, my throat has been burning all night. My whole tough body, you know, because when they put you under anesthesia, you don't know what they do to you.
Oh, so they did something? You had a procedure?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of them women things. So I had to have the procedure done on Thursday. And so, like now, you know, the throat is kind of burning like it's on fire. The chest is kind of tight. But praise be to God, all is well. And I pray that, you know, I pray that the results is negative and not positive. So I'm not claiming anything. That's right. I'm not claiming it. Mm-mm. When it comes down to sickness, I have no parts in claiming any of that. But God be the glory. All is well. And now our very own Pastor Kathy is going to come with our talk in the sanctuary. And we're going to welcome her. Thank you. With a hand clap. Praise. Where is my praises? There. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome, thank you.
Praise be to God. I'm better and better.
I feel great. I do. But I tell y'all the truth. Y'all know how I get on Saturday. I get kind of crazy when I'm thinking in my mind, oh, thank God it's Saturday. I can sleep in. Don't have to rush to work. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm laying there sleeping, chilling. No, it's Saturday. It's the weekend. And I'm relaxing, enjoying myself. And all of a sudden, God said, look, and you know me, I'm crazy. Look at what? Look at what? Like I could hear an audible voice, you know. But you hear it in your spirit. Look. And so I'm going, look at what? Look at what? Look down. So I look down. I said, oh, what's my phone doing over there? Okay. So I picked the phone up to put it in the bed with me. So when the alarm goes off, then I know. Long done came, went, and everything. I didn't even know the alarm went off and everything.
Oh,
so I looked there and I said, I know that phone don't say 10:57. What is going on?
You know that we're still with that they changed the law now. They're not going to change the clocks back. It's going to stay at this time.
They're not.
It still has to be approved, though. It hasn't been approved by the House.
Oh, okay.
I thought it had already changed.
The House hasn't approved it yet.
Oh.
What is going on with this world?
As far as I know, they haven't approved it yet, so.
Okay.
They'll tell us.
Oh, yes, they will. You know. But I prefer to leave it at this hour.
Yeah, but whatever time it is, my phone, because it's a cell phone, it knows whether it went up or stayed or whatever. My cell phone knows. And the alarm goes off at 10 o'clock. Well, I didn't know the alarm done went off. I done shut it off and everything else. Good Lord, what is going on?
Nothing is standing still.
I'm telling you, waiting on no man or woman.
That's right.
Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you this morning, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you because you've allowed us another time to come together just to talk, laugh, discuss things that are just going on in the world around us, things that are going on in the church, things that are going on in our lives, just to have a platform that we can talk to other Christians about these issues, oh God. Because some days we get so overwhelmed or we get so excited or we get so whatever that we forget that you're still there and we can always talk to you. And we look to want to hear an audible voice from another human being just to share what we're going through, to see if others can give us advice, to give us comfort, to give us peace, to relate to what we're going through. And so, God, you said to not forsake ourselves to assemble with one another because we find strength in numbers. So we're doing exactly what you told us to do. We're gathering together, having these conversations so that someone is going to be lifted up, someone is going to be encouraged. Come on now. And we all are going to be excited about whatever you put forth for us to talk about, oh God, knowing that it is a Christian platform and it's all godly based, driven. You know, everything that we discuss, even though it's going on in this life, it is still Christian based because we're looking at the things from the Bible that says, what do you do in these situations? How do you handle this? Who do you go to? So we thank you, oh God. Because you have given us basic instructions before leaving earth. And I pray that we continue to seek your guidance, seek your word. And even right now as we get into this conversation, oh God, that it be spoken in love, that it be dealt with in a Christian manner, in a manner that's pleasing unto you, that we can all voice our opinions, voice what we're thinking, voice what's on our heart, knowing it is a safe place. It is never a danger zone to talk about what you're going through. The world would have you to think, don't let anyone know what your business is. Don't let them know. But when you do that, you don't have any help. You don't have anyone to share what you're going through with. And that's what Satan wants. He wants us to be isolated. So we feel like we're going through all alone. And sometimes it's so overwhelming that the person cannot handle it, and they end up thinking it's a lot worse than it is, and they take their own selves out. So we thank you, oh God, that you have given us a platform to come together, talk in love, and just share some things that would help someone, encourage someone, lift someone up, or even ourselves.
Amen.
All of us to be encouraged. So we thank you. We love you. We ask that you come into this conversation, lead and guide us in a way that we talk about things that are pleasing unto you. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise God.
It's been a minute. I need to see how everybody's doing. I think I heard Sister Barbara in the background. How are you doing, woman of God? Did she leave?
No, she's still there. She must have stepped away a bit.
She walking around. Yeah, you know her. She gets busy. Well, bless God. She'll come back in a minute. How about you, Evangelist Hilda? How are things going with you?
Well, I had a procedure done on Thursday, and now I'm just waiting on the results. And right now my throat is like feeling like it's on fire. My chest and body hurts because, you know, when you go on the anesthesia and they put all these tubes in you, and when they take them out, you don't feel it the same day. But a day or two later, it's like, oh, my God, what is going on here? But other than that, I am doing fantastic.
Was it a serious procedure?
Oh, no. It was just like one of those women things.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Where you just,
we're believing the report of the Lord.
Absolutely. I was just telling Sister Barbara,
and we're going to do just like the woman with the son that died. No matter what we're going through, we're going to take it on just like she did. She looked at her husband. He said, is everything okay? She said, all is well.
That's right.
And her son was laying back at home dead. She said, all is well. I'm getting ready to go get some help. All is well. You can help me, so all is well.
All is well.
Now I'm running to the man of God that can't, so all is well. All is well. Until all is well.
God be the glory.
Oh, bless God. So your throat is still bothering you because of the tubes they put down there?
Yeah, when they call it incubation.
Oh.
So exactly.
You can't goggle or nothing, or just rinse your throat out with warm, salty water?
I do. And I take the Tylenol, but it's just going to take a little while for it to get back to normal, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Trust me, I understand.
Trauma, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
on another note, let's check in and see how your daughter is doing. How is she?
She was with me yesterday. She's doing, oh, my God, to see her. How she is now to what she was when she first came to me. Girl, I'm telling you, God is an awesome God.
Thank you,
God. She is doing so better. She's walking better. She's still going to therapy. She has, you know, she's more happier and you know, feeling like her old self, but, you know, in a different way. You could see where her spirit is lifting up.
Thank you, God.
And she's just thanking God for everything. She ain't leaving nothing out anymore. I said, it took something like this to bring you closer to God. But
it takes something like that for all of us.
Exactly. I told her, I'm not complaining. I'm just so thankful. Just thankful because it could have went the
good
other
news
way.
That she's coming around and doing much better.
Yes,
that is good news. Thank you, Jesus.
So much.
Thank
better.
You, God.
And my youngest son, he came up.
What's going on with him?
He's doing fantastic. He had his job sent about six of them up here to like a seminar, and. So he came by yesterday with one of the people that, one of his coworkers and stuff. And we sat here, and I couldn't laugh because my throat was killing me. But, you know, my youngest son, he's like a comedian. When he starts talking,
I was already saying, anytime you get with your kids, you already know you're going to start laughing.
I know, but I couldn't laugh.
But they say the craziest thing.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, like, sometimes they go back to when they were children and they start talking about things that you didn't even know that these children did back then. But it was just so good to see him because of the pandemic. I haven't seen him in such a long time. I was like, he's like, Mommy, you got short. I was like, boy, shut up. I'm not short. I was already short. You just got taller.
Exactly.
Yeah,
wow.
But it was
I know that was a good feeling to have him come over.
It was, and the young lady that he brought with him.
Let me ask you something. Did you cook?
No. How could I cook if I just came out of surgery?
Okay, because I know you. You'll get to cooking like it's 50 people coming.
I wanted to, but I just didn't have the strength.
Okay. I just was checking because I'm saying he probably said to himself, wait till I get there and eat while I'm almost cooking.
Yeah, he did. But then when he realized that I just came out of surgery, he was like, oh, I'm so glad you didn't cook. So he
Did you want a lie or something?
No. He went to Ali.
Okay.
He went to 234th Street and White Plains Road, and he picked up he picked up some rotis, which we haven't had in years.
Oh, my God.
He brought us back some rotis, some bus-up shop, some more beef.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. He brought back all the Trinidad food and stuff.
I was going to say, y'all went to the islands, didn't y'all?
Yes, we did. Right on White Plains Road.
Y'all had a night in the islands.
Oh, yes.
But I'm glad you got to visit with your son. Your daughter's doing so much better. That is good news.
Yesterday
bless
was,
the Lord.
It was a blessed and happy day.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to see if Sister Barbara is available now. If not, then we'll move on. Oh, you are there? Okay, I was trying to check in with everybody because I hadn't been on in a couple of Saturdays, so just wanted to see how Sister Laura is doing.
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. Busy, but God is awesome. How's your husband doing?
He's doing much better, thank you.
Praise
oh,
God.
You know
praise
what?
God.
My husband, he y'all know him. He's a big old crybaby. I said, what is it? I said, oh, King Jesus, what is going on? So we went around the whole day. And Stephen, he's one of those people that if you say, you know, this symptom might mean this, or this symptom, he will take on every symptom somebody brings to his attention. And I'm looking at him. And I'm still going on because I'm saying, this man is okay. So he's looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, oh, Lord Jesus. So finally, I look at her. I said, that's it. You ready to go to the doctors? He goes, yeah, give me a minute. I just got to go to the doctors. I said, oh, Lord.
Oh, poor baby.
But I was looking at him, and I'm thinking, you got the flu. That's it. It's flu season. It was 30 degrees, 70 degrees, 20 degrees, 80 degrees.
Yeah.
I said, what is going on? And this dude, he's taking a shower, washing his hair every morning. So, yeah, it took a toll on him. And now he walking around with a big old hat on his head. I looked over at him last night. I said, why you got on a hat? He had on a hat. He had on thermals, everything. I'm going, what in the world? Because he's making sure he don't get sick like that again. Oh, God.
Having the flu is no picnic.
No, it's not. It does take a toll on every part of your body. So we did go to the doctors and checked him out and everything, did chest x-rays, blood. They said, you're fine. You look good. You know, this is the season. People getting colds and the flu and... You know,
he
and it caused your body
shot?
To ache.
He didn't take the flu shot?
No, he ain't take no flu shot.
That's
and,
why.
So the doctor says, he said, well, you can drink plenty fluid so you don't get dehydrated and
that's
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, it's going to pass, you know, because like I said, they did the blood work and everything. They didn't see nothing wrong with them chest x-ray. So we bless God. And then he came out of there, and I was just humping him with soup and water and juice.
Water
so,
and
you know,
Keep him
He's
hydrated.
He's 96% better than he was, so we bless
Praise
God for
be
him.
God.
He's
Give him
doing
my
a lot
regards. Concerned. I just, you know, keeping him in prayer, keeping you both
exactly.
in prayer.
Exactly. Yeah,
Thank you. Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. I have been getting ready to, we're going forth with our Easter play down at his sister's church this year. So
Whoa,
we've done it
wonderful.
At other churches and stuff, but we're going to do it at his sister's church. And, you know, so I've been running for a while trying to find costumes and props and things like that. But I, you know, he would say, wow, that sounds like a lot of work. It's not a lot of work when it's something you enjoy doing.
Exactly.
You know, you don't even think of it as work. You just think, oh, I got to get this. I got to get that. And I don't want this. You know, you're thinking like that. You're not thinking, oh, man, I got to go and look. No, because you enjoy what you're doing. You know,
right.
So it's okay. I bless God. I thank God because when you're sick, oh, my God.
Hmm.
I don't know about anybody else, but as soon as you get sick, it seems like you age like 3 or 4 years. Or something. Your body be feeling all crazy.
Yeah, it's the
you're
stress.
You're like, what is going on?
The stress, honey.
You know?
The stress.
Look, I thank God for feeling better. I really do, because I'm saying to myself, shoot, when you sick, and I don't know what happened, maybe it's because people don't know you're sick. No one calls. No, you like, okay, any other time this phone will be ringing off the hinges.
Yeah, that's right. You are so, so right.
When you get sick, you don't hear no calls or nothing like that, but the thing about it is, I
Nobody
think that
knows.
That's God allowing you to just relax.
Yeah.
You know, to just take it
breath.
Easy, get your strength back. Yeah.
Yep. That
so we bless God all as well. So here we go. We're going to talk for a few minutes about our dreams.
Dreams?
Yes. You know, when God gives you
our dreams.
No, I'm talking about when God gives you, and when I say dreams, I'm talking about a vision that God has given you. It's a God-given vision. You know, things that it's so pressed on your heart, you got to do it, you got to do it, because God won't let you stop thinking about it. So here's the thing. When do you give up on your dreams, on your vision that God has given you? When do you stop pursuing it? Because believe it or not, there are many people out there that do stop pursuing their dream. They do stop trying to accomplish the vision. When do you give up on it? You know, is it after you done been working at it for so long? Or when do you give up on your vision, your God-given vision?
Get away from the door, Chico. Go take a nap.
So when do you give up? Or do you give up? Is Sister Robert
Are you
still on? Yeah, I'm asking you guys.
Well, my opinion, when do you give up on your vision? If you in God, you don't ever give up.
That's right.
You keep, you know, trying to find the time to do it or the inspiration to do it. I mean, look at Sarah and Abraham. They did give up after, 24 years and went on and tried to have a child by the slave girl, but by Hagar. But you don't give up on your vision. If that's really what you plan to do, what you think the Lord is leading you to do, you don't give up. No matter how long it takes, you don't give up. People want to get married. They've reached old age. You still don't give up.
That's right. Absolutely. I agree with you, Sister Barbara. Definitely.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. How
well, I was talking with I was talking with one of the ladies that's going to be singing in the play, and she was telling me, she said, all my life, I have never been this happy. I said, wow, look at you. She said, I'm 76 years old, and my husband, she's been married now for 3 years. She says, my husband has made me so happy.
Aww.
I said, wow, okay. She said, he took her shopping for lingerie the other day. I said, shut your mouth. Get out of here. What is going on?
Oh, my goodness.
She said, I'm 77. I ain't dead. I said, okay. Hey, I'm just listening
good
to you.
Woo!
And she got a voice that will blow you out the water. She got such a beautiful, strong voice. But most of her songs are the old-time songs. But they have so much meat in them. Oh, my God, they got so much meat in them. And when she's singing with such power, you know. But I only said that because y'all were saying, you know, some people, they get 70, whatever. And she said God has been giving her all kind of songs to sing. I said, so he wait till you get like Sarah, 80-something years old, and then you get ready to give her. She said, I guess so, because I done got all kind of songs. She sang one a couple of Sundays ago, and she said God gave it to her last night. When we listened to the song, we went, did she say God gave her that song last night? Well, how in the world does it sound like that? You would have thought she was singing that song for years, but she said, just like Sister Barbara, you know, there are days when she gets the horn that morning, and it sounds like she's had that horn for years, but she just got it
right out of her mouth.
So I'm like, wow. And I heard what Sister Barbara just said. She said, you know, God gives you a dream vision. You don't ever give up on it. But here's the thing. She says, if you're a Christian, you don't ever give up on it. And I want to say, we shouldn't ever give up on it. But the sad thing is, some of us do. I know a lot of people that walk away from their dreams. Mm-hmm. And the vision God has given them, you know, because they felt like they didn't have any help, they didn't have no money, they didn't see it happening, and they kept pressing and pressing, and nothing came out of it, so they just threw in the towel. And these are Christians, you know what I'm saying? So there are times when God's people do walk away from their dreams. Or they walk away from the vision that God has given them. You know, it's a sad thing, but it does happen. Well, look at that. We done seen how many pastors took their own lives because they didn't feel like they were adequate in what God had called them to do. Or for whatever their reasons were, they gave up. Right? And they were Christians. So there are times when people do give up on their dreams or the vision that God has given them. Now let's talk about a couple of reasons why you think someone would just walk away from it. Why do you think that they think the vision is never going to come to pass? God didn't call me to do this because I'm working too hard and nothing's happening. Why do you think they get to that point? Anybody?
It doesn't happen overnight. Because if you're a Christian, you have to, and when you read the Bible and you see how many years it took certain people in the Bible to get what God had promised them. So it's the same with us. Whatever our vision or dream is, we trust in how faith that is going to come to fruition, but we don't know when. It may take weeks, months, years, or even in days. But you don't, you know, give up. I guess some people do give up on their dreams after a while because they feel like, oh, I'm just wasting my time. It's not going to happen. Yes, it will. You just got to have patience and wait on the Lord.
Okay. I'm looking, and I know that when you look at, there's times when you're pressing and you're trying to get your vision accomplished, you're trying to do everything you believe God told you to do, dream and everything. And then there's times when you look across the street and you see this person just running with their vision and their dreams just being fulfilled. And you go, what in the world? And the first thing that person thinking is, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing, maybe I'm trying so hard because God didn't call me to do this. This isn't his vision for me. This isn't his dream. And so you get to doubting what you were so excited about a moment ago.
Can I share something with you?
Yes, please.
Okay, I was reading Our Daily Bread, as I do every morning, and it's talking reclaiming our time. Katara Patton. Evangelist, did you read it this morning?
The one you just sent me?
No.
Oh, no. I ran out. My neighbor, she usually give me the daily bread every month for the 3 months, but I have it out. So I didn't
this one
read
is called,
can you read it for us?
I'm trying to.
Okay. I'm listening.
It's reclaiming our time. And it says, my mother shared with me how she chose not to attend college so she could marry my father in the 1960s. But she always held her dream of becoming a home economics teacher. 3 children later, though she never received a college degree, she did become a nutritionist aide for the state of Louisiana's health system. She cooked meals to demonstrate healthier meal choices, much like a home economics teacher. As she shared her dream with me after recounting the events of her life, she proclaimed that God had indeed heard her prayers and given her the desires of her heart. And it goes on to say, life can be like that for us. Our plans point one way, but reality goes another way. But with God, our time and lives can be turned into beautiful displays of his compassion, love, and restoration. God told the people of Judah in Joel 2:22 that he would repay them for their lost or destroyed years brought about by a locust swarm. He continues to work to help us in the challenges and unfulfilled dreams we face. We serve a Redeemer God who honors and rewards our sacrifices to him, Matthew 19:29. The last paragraph, whether we're facing a devastating challenge or a time of unrealized dreams, may we call out to God who restores and give him praise. So I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to read that.
Amen.
That was something any of us go through. We make choices, you know, whether to get married, whether to have children right now and give up our dream. And a lot of times people multitask and they have that family and they get that college degree and they teach that class or whatever at the same time.
Yes.
Amen? But the
Amen.
Particular mom decided to the family, and somehow, in the will of God, she still did what she wanted to do. She wasn't a teacher, but she was doing what she would have done as an economics teacher. She was cooking healthy meals for people and showing them how to do the right thing as far as their nutrition was concerned.
Amen. That was
so
beautiful.
So she was still teaching.
Yes.
In a different capacity, but as she's showing them, she's teaching them how to eat in a nutritionist manner. So she still was teaching. Wow, what a beautiful story. You know, like I talked to Evangelist Hilda and those on Vlog Talk Radio Thursday night. And sometimes you sit there and go, I just want to make sure I'm hearing from God. And then you get on the line and a song is playing and God is saying, do you hear me now?
Yes.
You go, whoa, because no one knew what I was going through the moments before I had to get on. And the same thing now. I'm sitting here saying, we're going to talk about dreams and vision? Okay, Lord. But I thought we was, you know. And then Sister Barbara comes in with the daily bread that talks about someone that gave up initially. You know,
right.
She thought she was putting it aside. And in the long run, after she did all of that, she came right back to what she had dreamed about.
Yes.
And those are the times when I sit there and I get blown away because I'm going, Sister Barbara doesn't know what my thoughts were in regards
right.
to the talk of today, dreams and visions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to come in and says, can I read the daily word? And as she reads it, and I'm going, wow, because that's exactly what we're talking about. But the thing about it is, when I heard it, all I could say is, wow, God. Because whenever God tells us something or draws something in our spirit, and you look there and you go, that's what you want me to do? That's what we're going to talk about? And you go, okay. And you do it. And then someone like Sister Barbara comes with the daily bread, and you go, whoa. Now, it won't have the same impact on you guys that it's having on me, because I'm sitting there going, God is saying, I hear every last one of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you can hear me responding to your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really doesn't matter what God tells us to talk about. He knows why he's chosen for that to be the thing that we talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's right.
And it just blows my mind to hear that daily word, and I'm going, wow, it was all about someone who thought it looked like she gave up on her dreams, only to find out later in life, after the husband, the kids and everything, she gets right back on the platform to do the very thing that she loved doing.
Exactly.
Amen.
Affirmation. Glory to God.
My goodness.
Yep.
I tell you, how can someone say they don't hear God talking?
Because they're not listening.
Well, they can't hear because they think it's an audible voice, and it's not.
Right.
You got to hear it in your spirit because God is a spirit. You know what I'm saying? You got to look at what's around you and see that that's God talking. You know what I'm saying? Somebody said, oh, I don't know if I should go back to work. You know, I'm getting up in age and da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, you hear someone saying to you, you know what, they got a job opening over here. And you look on your Indeed, and they say, oh, this is a good job for you. And you go, what is going on? I'm not trying to go back to work. Well, you don't hear God answering your thoughts. Because God is the only one that knows your thoughts.
Amen.
You know, someone is saying, I want to get right. And then all of a sudden you go in there and they say, you know, we're going to start a singles group.
Ouch.
No, I ain't going to no singles group. And they say, well, everybody's single. We're going to discuss some things. We're going to start going out, having dinner together, just doing fun things as singles, you know. And not knowing, you said, I'm not trying to go with a bunch of singles. I'm trying to get married. And they said, we're just going to go bowling. We're going to go to the movies. We're going to do fun stuff. And you go, I ain't going with a bunch of single people from church. It's still going to be church. And then you say, I ain't going. And then all of a sudden, when you look at the clock and go, they're getting ready to go out, and I guess I could go this one time.
Mm-hmm.
And you go. and you have so much fun. You say, well, I guess I'll go next time. And you go the next time. The third time you go, they said a couple of people said they weren't going to be here tonight. And, you know, well, we're still going to go forth, you know. And they go forth, and then all of a sudden, a couple of the people there saying, I got to leave early, da-da-da. And you stuck you and Billy Bob. And Billy Bob said, well, it's just us. Why don't we just go out for dinner or something? Okay, not knowing, God set it up. So because you went to the singles meeting, you met Billy Bob. You didn't know anything was going to come out of being with Billy Bob until God let you go out that night because everybody had to go here, go there, and it was only you and Billy Bob. Billy Bob said, let's go out for dinner. Okay. And later on, you end up marrying Billy Bob.
Wow.
Why? Because like that lady, mm-hmm. God knew what her desires were.
Yes.
He saw, and he did not allow her to leave this earth without first getting a chance to teach her about economics, regardless of the platform that he gave her to teach. He mm-hmm. gave her a platform to teach.
Amen.
Amen.
And
yes.
God is telling all of us, thank you, Sister Barbara. God
yes.
just told us through that daily word, don't you dare give up on your dreams. Don't
the glory.
You dare let go of your vision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, you 99. If
come
you
on,
are
man.
Still there, you are there for a reason. I'm
absolutely.
Leaving you there until I accomplish the purposes that I set out for you to accomplish.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
That was absolutely beautiful to hear that. And what God is saying to the topic that he gave, when I'm saying, you know, what does it mean? Why would someone give up on a dream? When do you give up? And he comes back with his daily word that says, you don't ever give up.
Amen.
I know a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people do. But I'm telling you, don't give up. Don't
yeah.
you dare give up. Don't grow weary and well doing. You keep pressing and pressing
right.
and pressing until something happens. Because that's
amen.
What pushes it.
Amen.
So we thank God for that word today. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for your obedience to share it. Wow.
Yeah.
It was so on time.
Amen. Wasn't it?
And it's so connected with what
yes.
we were talking about. Thank mm-hmm. you, God. See, that's when God is in the midst of things. Everything just falls together, comes along, and it just goes
right.
so sweetly. That's how
yes.
you know God
mm-hmm.
did exactly what he wanted to do. So we
yes,
thank
exactly.
God for all of you guys joining us today. It was beautiful. Don't ever give up. It doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
how old you are, because that 77-year-old woman, and, you know, even though I was laughing in my mind, she said, he took me out shopping for lingerie. I said,
all right,
ooh,
now.
Oh, okay then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said, I'm 77. I ain't dead.
Come
I said, oh, okie dokie. All right, then, girl. You know, so I like, all righty. Okay, Sarah, go ahead on. You know.
Yes.
So we bless God because we look at our years and we get afraid because we're getting up in years. And God is saying, you 80, so. You 70, so. You 60, so. I still got plans for your life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does. We don't know.
Don't
those
you dare
plans.
Throw in
mm-hmm.
the towel. There's
mm-hmm.
still more to come.
Exactly.
And sometimes I get on TV and I look at some of those stars and I go, ooh, ooh. You know, like I look at Gladys Knight, she's 80 something. I look at Patti LaBelle and I'm saying, and they still chucking along like
yes,
they all are young.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Madison
now granted.
Seven.
Granted, Madden when 70. They get off the TV, they probably, she's 77?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. granted, when they get on TV, they probably go in there and take an Epsom sauce bath or get some or something, you know. But when you see them still chucking along doing the things that they absolutely love doing, mm-hmm. you know, some of the basketball, football, baseball stars, I look at them and I'm going, he done been in there long enough. He needs to just go ahead on. And they go and they interview him. He said, no, I got a few years left.
Mm.
Because it's yep. just something they love doing. You know, some people, when they stop doing the things that they love, that's when they get all depressed and sad, you know. But thank God that God's timing is not ours.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as God's timing. Yes.
Tom Brady, the football player, you familiar with him?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He, I think he used to play for the Boston, I'm thinking 49ers, I'm not sure. But anyway, he was traded to another team, and he retired in January. Everybody mm-hmm. was saying, oh, he's going to retire. But he was like, I haven't said I'm going to retire yet. Give me a moment. You know, so he did, like, a couple of weeks later, he did say he was retiring. So mm-hmm. now, just the other day, he's unretiring. He's coming back. He sat home for about 2 months, and he was like, you know, my family is good with it, and my children are fine. My wife is fine. I'm coming back. He's played for 23 Super Bowls, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
won 7 rings. And so mm-hmm. he's coming back mm-hmm. stronger than ever. I think he says he's going to play, and he's 43, going on 44. I think he said he's going to play till he's 45. So
okay. That's
old for football. But
you know why?
Because
he still got the dream in his heart.
He's still at the peak of his
dream.
He's still at the peak of his glory and his talent. So, again, sitting at home wasn't quite the thing. I think they had all of that when they were going through the height of the pandemic for those 2 years. That's not for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able, he's capable, he's ready, willing, and able, and he's coming back. Tom Brady. Ask your
mm-hmm.
husband about him. He's familiar.
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day because I know when Stephen was saying Tom Brady getting ready to retire, everybody's saying it. And, you know, I didn't hear the part about him coming back, but I heard when Steven was saying Tom Brady, everybody saying he's retiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But the thing is, people don't tell you when to retire your dream. You retire when you're ready.
There you go.
You say, okay, I've done all I can do with this dream. I took it to the fullest. I did everything I desired to do. You know. Don't let people tell you, okay, well, you see it ain't coming along and da-da-da. Okay, well, thanks for sharing that. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones you get away from, and you continue doing whatever it is you desire to do.
Exactly.
God is not looking for us to give up on the dream or the vision. No. He's looking for you to trust that as you don't give up, He's going to bring it to fruition for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you're trusting him that he's still going to give you the desires of your heart.
Of your heart.
Which ain't God.
That's what he said in his word.
That's what he said. We thank God for all that he continues to share with us on Long Talk Radio, how he inspires us to keep going, to keep pressing, no matter what it looks like.
That's
your
good.
God, he is aware of what it is you're trying to do. And in his timing, it's going to happen. And you're going to look and, whoa, I can't believe I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, wow.
Amen.
So we thank God for the word of God that was shared by Sister Barbara that just added to everything. Thank you for that. Thank you for the praise report, Evangelist Hilda, about your kids. Thank you for everything, God. It was a good, good Saturday morning.
Amen.
And we bless God. And right now, the best thing that could happen right now is for someone to give their life to Christ. That's the best thing that could happen right now. And I know somebody's out there on the internet, on the radio, and you're under the sound of my voice. No matter what you've done, how long you've been doing it, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to God is that you want to change. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and allow God to bring about a change in you. That's all that matters. God just wants to know that you want to change. You want to be like King David. Lord God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Search me, know me inside out. Let everything that occupies my being be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. I'm telling you, it is not too late for you to give your life to Christ right now.
That's right.
You just got to come to him. Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins. I'm inviting you to come into my life. I will make you my Lord and Savior. And after you pray that prayer, expect God to say, I've been waiting for you. I've been wanting to love on you, wanting to bless you. But I can only do so much until you open up the door and say, I want you in my life, Lord God.
Yes.
Don't think that you've done something so bad or so horrible that God won't love on you. The devil is a liar. God forgives all of us, regardless what we've done. God is a forgiving, merciful, loving God.
Yes.
And this may be the very day that he's looking for you to give your life to Christ. Won't you do it today? We thank all of you for joining us, for your participation. Thank you for just enjoying what God is doing with all of us, around us, through us, in us. Thank you, God. Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done, doing, and are going to. We thank you for that word on today, how you so graciously came in through Sister Barbara and said, don't give up.
My God.
I know you feel like you want to. You might think you need to, but God gently said how that woman went through all of those things, and in her later years, you still thought about her dream. So thank you, God, for encouraging us with that word. This is not the time to give up. You're closer than you know.
Yes.
Don't give up. Rely on God to bring it to fruition. We thank you. We love you. Father God, we ask that you continue to lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go. Cover our family members. Cover our homes, oh God. Give us traveling mercy. Whether we're walking, driving on a plane, just be with us, God. Continue to keep your angels encamped around us, around our homes, around our loved ones, around our friends and their families, around the body of Christ. Continue to let your will be done. We ask all of these blessings. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda. God bless you guys.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Huh?
You still there?
How's your listening?
Sister Barbara? Yes.
How is your lip?
How is my what?
Lip.
Your lip, your mouth.
Oh, okay, because I was fading in and out. My lips are doing a lot better.
All right.
I took something the other day, but I knew it was just what I ate. All I had was a little piece of barbecue chicken. Wasn't spicy or nothing. Just barbecue chicken. But the sauce. It was just barbecue. Then I said, you know what? I don't need no more barbecue sauce. I'm going to be all right. So now I thank God that things are healing nicely. I'm getting ready for this play. Everything
wonderful.
Is coming together, and I thank God for that. I thank God. And thank God for all of y'all's prayers and your concern for me and Pastor Stephen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving
welcome.
On us the way you guys do. God bless you. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy your weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's all enjoy this weekend.
Aren't we supposed to get some rain
today?
Yeah,
yeah, early.
It's drizzling over here.
Oh.
It's drizzling over here already. It was raining yesterday, too. So it's already drizzling, but it's still a good day. Yes, it is.
Beautiful day.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it was 70-something degrees. People were stripping out.
70-something, but it was still raining.
Got up to 74 here.
We got up to 74, and people were stripping off their clothes, honey.
Oh, see? Yes. That's how they get sick.
Exactly.
I saw a guy with his shirt off. The guy had his shirt off.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Like, are they crazy?
No,
wow.
They just in a hurry for the weather to break, but it's still going to get cold again. But it
absolutely.
Was beautiful yesterday.
It's going to get cold again. And that's
what's going on. I add on my coat, my hat, and everything else I can put on.
I changed coats. I had on a spring coat, but.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't take off everything. You take off little by little, gradually.
Exactly.
You don't take it all off. Mm. Then your body goes into shock.
Well,
ladies, have you guys heard? Have you heard from Apostle Mother Wiggins? How's everything going with her?
She's doing
I haven't talked with her lately, but last time I did, she was well. She was happy.
Yeah.
Good.
You know,
yeah.
I know
happy.
She has. She got
good.
All that sunshine on the patio.
Oh, yeah. I'm quite sure she was out there yesterday on that patio or downstairs in the garden. Yeah, because her lady
see,
takes her out
and that's
when
what
the weather's
I'm telling you. And that's a prime example. Look at her. All those years she spent in that apartment, and now God has brought her to a place, and she's in her 80s. He brought her to a place where she can have sunshine. She can have fresh air. She can have people around her, you know, doing little activities.
Got windows.
Yep.
You know, she got windows. Oh, my God.
House and apartment.
She get those daily fresh meals.
Yes. Thank
God.
Thank
God.
God is so awesome.
God
so wonderful.
So awesome.
Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
If I got to leave y'all with anything, is don't you dare give up on any of your God-given dreams or visions or your desires. Don't
let
give up.
Lord.
Just trust God.
Trust
God bless you guys. I love you.
Bless you.
Have a great
too.
Weekend. And we will talk with you guys soon. God bless you.
God bless you.
Give our love to Pastor Stephen.
Yes.
Okay. God bless you, sister. Have a blessed weekend. See you tomorrow.
God bless you, too. God willing, see you tomorrow.
Amen.
Stay safe and feel better. And like she was saying, take something. They probably, you know, a little scratching up when they put that tube down your throat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But praise God.
I would let the doctor. Oh, let the doctor know the anesthesiologist did something. Okay, good.
She told me
what the doctor said.
When they put it in there, she told me I may have a slight sore throat, but a couple of days it will go away. And if it doesn't go away, then, you know, if anything else, just go straight to the emergency room. But I don't anticipate anything else to happen.
All right, all right. God bless you. God bless
you.
Love
you.
Love you too. Stay blessed.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Rock it.